Colin McDevitt said, listening to this this morning, the SDLP MLA sits on the Stormont Health Committee. What are your thoughts here, Colin?
Well, what Owen is saying in the research, Stephen, would tally with what nurses would say to me directly. And that is that nurses are getting less opportunity to do what they were trained to do, which is nurse people. And to be able to nurse people in with the right level of support and to be able to give patients the time they deserve. And, you know, this is kind of related to the conversation you've just been having around welfare cuts, because it boils down to whether or not at a regional level we want to have the NHS here in Northern Ireland working to the values and standards that we believe it should, or whether we're going to accept hand-me-down reforms from a Tory government in Britain. And, you know, there is a big acid test here for the Assembly about how serious they are about actually moulding and shaping and making, you know, the NHS or welfare meet the needs of our community. And there's a big fear around this transforming your care agenda. And the fear is that it is going to lead to the stealth privatisation of certain aspects of our health system.
Yeah, but come on, when you talk about the bill across the water, the initial debate we had, you know what the benefits of parity are. You can't have it in one hand and take it away in the other.
And the difference with the NHS is that the NHS is, it isn't the parity rule applies. The NHS is actually quite different. But what transforming your care does is it unfortunately mirrors a lot of the reforms that are in a piece of legislation that was recently passed in Westminster called Lansley Bill. And that basically changes quite fundamentally the character of the NHS in Great Britain. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen here. I don't know anyone in any community here in the north of Ireland who wants to see greater private sector involvement in health and social services. Quite the opposite. I think what they want to know is that the people who work for them and who deliver their health care, be they doctors or nurses or all the plethora of people who assist them, are only interested in delivering care. They're not interested in you know, making money or making a profit.
Here, Owen Stewart?
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And some of the quotes that I have from nurses, and I'll quote some of them. Staff morale is at an all-time low. We are told we are lucky to have a job and there's always a transfer to another site. I have to cancel many training sessions due to staff shortages. I could go on with quote, quote, quote. The figures that we have are remarkable figures, but they're nothing that we didn't know anyway. But we can now say, yes, nurses are stretched to the front line. And if we want to give proper nursing to patients, the patients that deserve, I'm a nurse myself, Stephen. I come into my job to be a nurse, not to do paperwork, and not to be so stretched that I can't give proper nursing care to patients. And the majority of nurses will say exactly the same, and they're not able to do that anymore due to the cut in staffing levels that they have.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Owen. Colin McDevitt, just before you go today, will the SDLP be putting down a petition of concern?
Well, the SDLP actually has a pretty solid record on the welfare cuts. We have opposed them at every step along the way. We're the only party in the Assembly to have opposed them at executive. To have thought to bring motions to the floor of the Assembly. We've done it since last March, saying these are bad cuts and then they're going to have a negative impact. We're looking at our options right now. I mean, one of the things that would be available to the Minister, Stephen, which, you know, he might want to think about doing, would be to refer this bill today to a special committee so as it can consider the equality and human rights implications of it. Now, I think if it did that, you would actually find that we would be able to have much stronger hands at a regional level in terms of going back to the British.
So you're supporting what Sinn Féin is saying today?
No. Sinn Féin are seeking to bring a thing called a reasoned amendment, and that's one device. But there is another device that the minister could look at, and for some reason it isn't. The thing we need to achieve here is a united assembly. And what's really regrettable about it is that the minister seems more intent on actually delivering a Tory model of welfare for this region than he is in actually standing up for the regional interest.
So are you saying, hold on one second. Are you saying the DUP is wrong then when they're saying that if we miss this timetable, 1,500 jobs could be lost, £200 million will be lost? Are you saying they're wrong?
I'm saying the DUP are being bad parliamentarians here. They're not up to the game. And I'll give you a few examples. There is equality legislation in this.
The question is, are they wrong?
There is equality legislation in this jurisdiction which is much tighter than the equality legislation in Great Britain. That means that when government makes law here, it has to make it in terms of equality to a higher standard than it does in Great Britain. The DUP should be standing up and using that legislation against the British government to say you cannot ask us or force us to make changes which will be effectively illegal in this jurisdiction.
You're ducking the question.
No, I'm not. The DUP are surrender monkeys on this issue. I mean, if Nelson McCausland...
You're ducking the question. No, you can label the DUP as you wish, but the question is very specific. The DUP have been specific, Conal McDevitt, and they have said this. If we miss this timetable, we will lose hundreds of millions of pounds of funding from the Treasury. Are they wrong?
The DUP are trying to say that the only thing to do is to roll over and accept these cuts as they are. That is not true.
Because of the consequences.
No. It's not true because they haven't fully explored the difference in equality legislation between this jurisdiction and other jurisdictions. They haven't fully explored the possibility of using a devolved administration's authority within the United Kingdom to seek better change. What they have done is they've rolled over. I don't understand why, but they've rolled over.
Okay.
And if Nelson McCausland put the same effort into fighting welfare reform as he puts into fighting the Parades Commission, you know, I'd actually be quite proud of him.
So,
but he isn't.
So, factually, you're saying that this country, that Northern Ireland, will not lose a couple of hundred million pounds of funding from the Treasury if this timetable's missed?
No, sorry, I'm not saying that.
So the DUP's right then?
No, I am saying factually that we have 4 months to... And you know, we've lost 2 years because they failed to negotiate seriously with the British government on this since they took over the Department of Social Development. And, you know, Margaret Ritchie and Alex Atwood, when they were in the department 2 years previous, spent more time and had more meetings with Lord Freud pointing out the differences and the issues in the north of Ireland than Nelson McCausland's put into it. What I'm saying is they've done a pretty miserable job at standing up to the regional interest today.
So you're just giving the DUP a kick in every 2 seconds here. That's what you're doing. Let's actually explain to people, Conal McDevitt, what parity means. Parity means that Westminster foots £5 billion every year of a bill for welfare here. Now, if it's broken, can Stormont take that budget?
Actually, Stephen, that's not what parity means. Parity means that for all sorts of efficiency reasons, we choose to have a single system of benefits. It doesn't mean that amount of money is there or isn't there. That's not true. Parity is an administrative issue around saying we do this the same across the UK. And there's a huge argument for parity. I'm not saying we should abandon it.
Well, let me ask you another question. Can Stormont afford Conal McDevitt to set up its own IT and administration system?
Stephen, with the greatest respect, you're falling for the lame excuses of a minister who's been found to be asleep.
I'm asking you a question. Can we afford to set up our own administration system?
There's no question of us needing to do that.
So therefore, we have to have parity.
No. Therefore, we need to be able to, not every aspect of the welfare system is exactly the same. Okay, parity is a general principle, but there are aspects of the welfare system that are actually different here to what they are in Britain, first of all. Okay, and that's important for people to know. And the reason they're different is because our needs are different. You know, we have different needs, different history, different demographics in this region than they do in other parts of the UK. There are aspects of the welfare cuts which would be deeply damaging to us. And you've provided plenty of space over the past few months for people to talk about them and to debate them, okay? And that'll happen again in the Assembly. What we have today is a minister trying to say that he is powerless when in fact he's not. And a minister trying to say that, you know, I am going to lose all this money if I so much as ask the Treasury to go back and look at specific issues. And even more importantly, a minister is refusing to use the laws available to protect the people of this land in support of delivering them a better deal.
Do you want Stormont to run its own social security system?
No, the SDLP has never said we want a separate, independent UDI on welfare. Of course not.
So you want parity?
We support the principle of parity, but parity does not mean surrender. I mean, they're not parity does not mean rollover. The Conservative government doesn't have a mandate in this jurisdiction. The Assembly has a mandate in this jurisdiction. The Conservative government need to understand that the equality legislation in this jurisdiction is different to what it is in Great Britain, and that's a fact. And that's because the Parliament in Britain made it so.
So help me understand then from your point of view, the timetable that there is, the wriggle room that there is here, because the DUP is being very, very specific. They are saying there is no more time. So you tell me where the time is.
The only reason we have a crisis over time is because Sinn Féin and the DUP have let this matter slip for the guts of a year.
So you agree with the DUP, there is a crisis over time, your words?
But no one denies that. The clock is ticking, absolutely.
Well, there's a crisis in your view over time.
Sorry, the clock is ticking. The question is, do you use that time positively to get a better deal? Do you use that time intelligently in order to be able to identify and prove to the British government that they actually need to make certain changes and certain allowances for our unique situation here? Or do you just roll over? Now, what I'm hearing from DUP ministers is, do you know something? We're just going to roll over. And that's not just bad politics. It's a tremendous disservice to the people of this region.
Do you know what? You see, your sound bites today. And I give the DUP...
Right.
Well, let me finish my point. I give the DUP as hard a time as any other party. But your sound bites today, when you are completely making it up as you go along in terms of what Nelson McCausland has said.
Nelson McCausland,
under no circumstances, said that he is going to roll over. Indeed, he said he is going to continue to negotiate.
Stephen, I suggest, I'll tell you what, you do this. Don't, you know, because you're very good at doing this, don't take my word for it. Go back and look through which party has been raising this issue and asking for things to be done for the past year. Go back and look at what happened and what Margaret Ritchie and Alex Atwood's record in office was.
Tell me this.
When they were ministers.
Let me get into a bigger point here.
You challenge me, and I just want to challenge you with the facts, okay? See how many minutes they had, the meetings they had with welfare ministers in Britain, and compare that against Nelson's record.
Yeah, I go across on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday to England, and I host a phone-in show throughout the UK in England. Try telling people, and let me hear you explain to people today, in Liverpool, in Swansea, in Newcastle and other places of the United Kingdom, why we should get special treatment here in Northern Ireland in terms of these benefits.
So they've got to accept the cuts.
We need special treatment. Why?
You're doing a great disservice to everyone in this region by saying we need special treatment. We don't need special treatment. What we need is a welfare system that's built around the needs of the people of this region. And what we have a duty to do as legislators is design a welfare system that is able to meet our needs. Our needs are different. What we need the British government to accept is that actually, in certain areas, our needs are very different.
Are certain areas in England not different?
Pardon me?
Are the needs in certain areas in England not different?
Of course they are, but I'm not elected to represent people in England. I don't have a jurisdiction as a legislator over people in England. I have a duty to do the best for the people who send me to Stormont. And I'm saying that because our needs are different, we need to be able to get, you know, a welfare system that meets those needs.
Why are our needs different? What's different about us here?
But there's a number of areas very specifically, okay, and I'm glad we're talking about the substance of this now. The first is the legacy of the conflict, and it's a very serious issue. Because of the legacy of the conflict, you take things like DLA, we have a very different type of person in receipt of DLA and very different context around the receipt of DLA. So therefore, the changes to DLA are going to have a very negative impact on our society. And you know one of the saddest things, and one of the things I'd like to pay tribute to you about, you give victims of the conflict a huge amount of time on your show, and you give them a voice when oftentimes they don't get one. Now, those are the very people who are going to get hit by the fact that the British government are trying to make DLA something totally different to what it is today, firstly. Secondly, and on the second point here, I actually agree with the minister, they're proposing to change the way rent support is paid. You know, they're proposing to give it to the people who rent houses. When here it's done by direct payment to landlords. Giving money to people who might be in a very vulnerable situation, who might have problems managing money, and giving it to them every month, in other words, giving them the whole rent every month and expecting them to pay the landlord, that could be disastrous. And everyone agrees on that here, right? Thirdly, the whole question, the broader issue around housing, you know, where they're proposing basically to say, as is in England, you know, that people who are in a house of three bedrooms, but they're now a widow or the family's left or whatever, they should leave that house and get a one-bed. When we, in fact, don't have that many one-bed social houses built, it's a disaster. It doesn't fit the way our society moves or the way it lives. It doesn't acknowledge the fact that we have a very different type of public housing here to what they have in England.
So?
I could go on, Stephen.
Well, therefore, now, the reason I give you room to say all of that...
...designed for the needs of another...
There is a reason, Colin McDevitt, I've given you the room to say all of that. And the reason is this. So, if you really believe in what you've just said over the last 2 or 3 minutes, then have the courage to say, we will break parity and do our own thing.
Sorry, Stephen. No, you're trying to turn this into a winner-takes-all debate. What we have to have is the courage to be able to, as an Assembly today, unite around the fact that this legislation doesn't meet our needs and say, you know something, we're going to go back and we're going to unite every single one of us around the fact that we want a better deal for our region.
Parity?
And
the essence of parity is to ensure that benefits... Stephen, benefit parity, payments parity are pretty not, much the same across
parity,
the UK.
Parity is a principle, not a universal rule. Exactly. They're pretty much the same. But they're not absolutely exactly the same. And that's the key thing.
And if you really believe...
Parity does not mean
believe in what you've just said and how important it is to the people of Northern Ireland, why not lay down a petition of concern?
Well, first of all, you've caught me in the car. I'm on my way up to meet with colleagues. I know... that colleagues will want to be considering all the full options today in terms of what the party would do. But the party will absolutely oppose it. Absolutely oppose it. I can guarantee you that.
Why not lay down a petition of concern and that would therefore make Sinn Féin choose whether to kill the bill or not? Why not?
I'm not saying the SDLP will or won't lay down a petition. I'm saying that I'm on my way up to meet my colleagues and you wouldn't expect me...
Well, what will you be saying to those colleagues within the meeting about the potential for a petition of concern? Would you support it or not?
I think we need to look at all the options available to us.
Oh, for goodness sake, you're having the conversation today. You don't know what you stand for and you're driving up into the meeting now.
Stephen, you're asking me to speculate with you on the radio what's going on in a meeting at the moment.
No, I'm not. I'm not missing a good meeting
because you're keeping me on the radio.
Colonel, no, I'm not. Here's how simple the question is. What do you, sir, Colin McDevitt, the man who raps doors and says, vote for me, the man who calls himself an MLA, do you believe in? You, personally, sir, don't hide behind the fact there's a meeting. Don't hide behind all that rhetoric. What do you think? As a member of the Legislative Assembly, do you think when you get into that meeting that you will say, we should have a petition of concern? Or are you just a nobody and you think, I don't have a view. I'll skulk in the corner. I'll hide in the corner. What do you think?
Stephen, first of all, I only ever call myself Connell, and it's the people who get to call me an MLA because they sent me...
What do you think?
I know the job that the people of South Belfast sent me to do, and it was to fight for a welfare system that isn't the welfare system.
Are you going to duck the question now?
No. I can guarantee you that the SDLP will oppose this bill at second stage.
Do you think there should be a petition of concern laid down by your party?
I think we should do everything in order to be able to express the strongest possible opposition to this. And I'm not going to...
It's actually quite funny how you're ducking the question, isn't it?
Well, Stephen, I'm not going to answer a question which isn't mine to answer because, you see...
It's not yours to answer. What do you think?
You take the money, you take the vote on a big day like this for Northern Ireland.
You won't tell the people who vote for you what you think.
Sorry. I told you, from the day and hour this bill was published, the SDLP was saying they would oppose the welfare bill. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to say the SDLP is not going to launch a petition of concern because I'm actually missing the meeting where we're discussing.
I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking you what the SDLP is doing because I completely understand that you've got to go into the meeting and collectively decide what you're going to do. I'm wondering what your view is. Do you have a view? Are you going to have any input into the meeting or are you going to hide?
Great respect. I'm not going to have much of an input into the meeting if we keep having this conversation because I'm going to miss it.
But what's the point of you going in? Because you clearly don't know what's in your head.
I have a very strong opinion, Stephen, but I'm sure the listeners of your show, and I'm sure deep down you will respect the fact that I have a duty to express that in private and for the party to take a collective view. I'm a party man and I will always work with the party on a collective thing. I'm sorry that doesn't meet your needs right now, but I can assure you that my view will be well heard, as I'm sure with everyone else. And I can assure you that the party, our party, has been resolute from day one, unlike other parties, has to be said in the Assembly, in our opposition to this.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you very much indeed. Here's